Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Wow. You gotta love church that's air-conditioned, right? Praise is like an air conditioner. Now let's sort your attitudes out in no time at all. So good to have you here this morning, Australia Day. Happy Australia Day, church. And we are celebrating, obviously, all over the weekend, but boy, you couldn't get more Australian weather than what we've got. We're finishing a series this week on Seize the Year. Excuse me. And so our last sub-theme for this is Step Out. Everybody say Step Out. And that's what we're going to talk about doing this coming year. One of the big things about stepping out is actually getting unstuck from where we were. And many times I've seen people who are just stuck in life. Sometimes just stuck in one area, but they're stuck. That one area is preventing the rest of their life from actually moving on. Sometimes they're stuck in an offense that happened years ago, but they just haven't been able to move on from that wound and haven't been able to get over the feeling of wanting revenge, haven't been able to forgive, haven't been able to let it go. But there comes a point, in all of our lives where all of us have been wounded. All of us have had something that has wants to keep us in the same place, but here today, I would like to think that you're going to get unstuck and set free from anything that's been holding on to you and keeping you in your past, keeping you in your history. But there's a lot of things that can keep you stuck, and I want, you know, this passage in Hebrews 11 verse 8, where we're starting from, says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. So this is a man who's 75 years old. How many, any 75 year old? Any 75 young people here? Anybody beyond 75? Look at that. Brilliant. Love it. Amen. Congratulations. That's a decent journey to have made so far, and you've still got another 50 years to go. And Abraham obeyed. I love this man. Unbelievable. At age 75, it is not the time when you're thinking, hey, let's go on an adventure, Sarah. Let's just step out and sort of start walking, and who knows where we'll end up. You're looking for security. You're looking for to make sure that you're going to have enough income every year. But here he is saying, just let's leave town. Let's just start walking out west. Once we get past Penrith, I don't know where we're going. We're just going to keep on walking because apparently God's got something for us out in our future. But he's not telling us about it yet. He's just saying, get unstuck. Leave what you know is familiar. Leave what you feel comfortable in. Leave this place where all your relationships are secure, and I want you to start moving. Now, as I travel through this message, I'm not talking necessarily about geographical replacement, going somewhere else on a location. I'm talking about our spiritual pathway that we're on, because it is tragic to watch believers get stuck eventually after they've been stuck there for a while. Because God is always moving, it feels like you've actually gone backwards. And if you're staying still, don't think that you're just going to stay static. You will actually find yourself moving backwards. I feel sorry for people who like my parents, when they were kids, you used to, if you got a hole in your socks, you used to darn them and fix them up. And I remember this little wooden round thing that we had in the house, and you'd kind of get out the wool and the big needle and you'd fix your socks up. Can you imagine your kids fixing their socks up today? We used to put the milk bottles out and have 4 cents for a bottle of milk in the bottom. Well, number one, you wouldn't leave money out in empty bottles now, would you? But what could you buy for 4 cents? This doesn't exist. If we do not keep moving and changing and having a capacity within us to embrace something new, a bigger, we will find ourselves being left behind as the world moves forward, because the whole world is moving forward. When we first came to Sydney in 1980, we bought a house for it was about 82 that we ended up buying a house for $135,000. We thought we're buying the Taj Mahal, for goodness sake, because we had owned a house in New Zealand, two houses, one after the other. The first one we bought for $23,000. You wouldn't even buy a motorbike for that much these days. You certainly won't get past your stamp duty. There is no way I can stay with that mindset and say, well, a house should only be that much. I'll find myself out somewhere where nobody lives and buying a garage for that much. It's like you have to keep embracing bigger concepts. And for some, it's just too much. They go like, oh, I can't afford anything in Sydney. No, you can't afford to not change your mindset, because you can. You can. Nothing's impossible. If you keep a nothing is impossible mindset, and I can do all things, and with God all things are possible, you're going to find that you can keep changing your thinking, because even what you might have grown accustomed to today, you might be comfortable, have become comfortable with the kind of idea that there's the average house price on the Northern Beaches is $1.1 million. Now that's what it is. You might be comfortable with that, but in a couple years' time, maybe in 5 years' time, it's going to double. And you got to double your thinking and go like, I'm going to be a bigger thinker. I am not going to get stuck in yesterday and my whole life to represent a person who can't take steps forward. And the ability to make changes is what I would like to achieve in you here today. Maybe not just to even get bigger, but the capacity to open yourself to difference, to a new thing, the unfamiliar, where you've never been before, to step out of your boat and to actually move into a world of supernatural thinking where, well, I've not done this before. I've not bought a house before. I've not tried that job before. I've never played the piano before. There's a new one. It's like the guy with a broken arm. He said, Doc, will I be able to play the piano when my arm's healed? He said, yeah, of course you will. He says, that's great. Couldn't before. Amen. Nothing's impossible to a person who's going to embrace new ideas. Do not ever just sit inside the bottle and let all the sediment come down to the bottom. You're going to turn sour. You're going to find yourself kept sweet because you keep on taking steps. Sometimes I'm taking steps. Sometimes I'm following somebody else who's taking steps. But I want to make sure that I am keeping myself youthful, because I'm hanging out with young people who are prepared to keep on taking steps and to go where you haven't been before, to take on unfamiliar territory. It's staying with the same old path, the old well-beaten track. It's secure and it's safe, but you can die there because there's nothing fresh, nothing that's getting you excited about getting up in the morning. Wow, I got this today. I'm going to have a go at this today. I was so excited when I got out of bed. I knew I'd be sharing this morning. Because Abraham, to me, he's this amazing person who obeyed God when God asked him to do something. When I think about it, it is crazy. God asked him to do some other things that were crazy. And sometimes we think, oh man, I'd like to be used of God and one of these great people who step out and do great things, and it's just amazing. Let me tell you, it's not always easy. Excuse me. It's It's a little interesting sometimes. A number of years ago, I was in Seoul, Korea. I'm part of a group, a board, a church growth board called Church Growth International, which Dr. Cho, who has run the largest church for about 50 years, around about 1 million people in Seoul, Korea. So I'm up there once a year, and every 2 years, they hold an event called a stadium prayer meeting. 120,000 people fill the Olympic Stadium, where they had the Olympics there once, and now they use it for other events. And so he fills the Olympic Stadium. It's a phenomenal event. His church is like an army filling this place. And I was one of the guys who's going to do a bit of speaking that day. About four of the board do some speaking each time, and then Dr. Cho gives the main message, and there are other people who are there on the stage as well. So I'm sitting on the stage, and it is freezing, people. I mean, I've never felt cold like that. And it was not just freezing, it was raining. And it had been raining for like all night long. And now all the buses that were coming, like there's a park, it's a forest of buses that bring all the people. And they're in mud and all this kind of thing. And they've got umbrellas. And it's raining on the stadium. And the people are sitting there for 6 hours. I'm thinking, I'm going to do this in Australia. Right. And 6 hours crying out to God, different preachers, speakers, singers. It's not all prayer, but it goes through that cycle. And we're sitting, they've given me a blanket. I got a little heater. I'm sitting on the stage. There's a couple of my colleagues there. Dr. Cho is there. The president of South Korea is there. A whole host of dignitaries and 60 of the elders. Benny Hinn is over here somewhere. And then there's a couple other. Cesar Castellanos runs a church in Bogota, Colombia. And there's some pretty heavyweight people all on the stage. And then it comes my time. I'm up. And so... So they said, and so I hear my name, and I got an interpreter, and so I start to walk to the stage, and the Lord speaks to me. He said, prophesy that the sun will shine. I said, no. Are you kidding me, God? Check the weather. It's raining. It's freezing. It's black. The sky is black. Can't be God. I know the voice of God. He was a prophesy. The sun will shine. Oh, God. Between here and the pulpit, as I'm walking, I'm trying to do a deal with God. I'm trying to negotiate with the Almighty. And I get to the podium, and I've struck a deal with myself as to how I'm going to obey the Lord. I'll go halfway. I'll pray that the sun will shine. I'll just put up amongst all the other prayers. Pray, God, I pray North and South Korea be united. I believe God for revival. God, make the sun shine. We just pray, Lord, you make the sun shine and everything else. And I hear this, like this. They're all got these big things that they clap together, and it just makes this huge noise. And I got my eyes so tightly shut together. I didn't want to see if that, whatever was going to happen. At the end of the prayer, I opened my eyes. The sun is shining. It's pouring out. I was so upset. It would have been so much better to go, sunshine. Be like Moses, for goodness sake. I felt so bad. I in my heart afterwards, I said, oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And forgive me. I'll commit my life. I will always say what you tell me to say, and I will speak it out. Yeah, right. From there on in. So I was you know, pretty comfortable with that. I come home here, all right, and a certain Mr. Flannery has occupied the front pages of the newspaper with predictions that Warragamba Dam is never going to work again. It's all over for water supply. We're going to have to dig water out of the ground or build a desalination plant because we've had a seven-year drought in New South Wales. That's the scenario. I'm in church here one Sunday morning, and I'm just up here getting up, and I close my eyes. I'm going, out of the blue, I'm not even thinking about Sydney Morning Herald, Flannery, Warragamba. I'm not even anywhere near it. I'm thinking about what I'm going to preach. I come up here and I see a vision, water pouring out the top of Warragamba Dam. And God says, prophesy. I say, God, no. You remember that? Remember Flannery? He's an expert. He's and his front page newspaper, everybody's. And you are, I said, no, how can you ask me to do that? He said, Korea. I said, oh, you're bad. You know that. How can you, Lord, that is just. So I got right with God, went up the front here. I said it as clearly as I could, no praying it, nothing like that. Warragamba Dam has flooded over the top four times since then. Paul Mackin came up to me in one service and said, remember that prophecy you said? Well, it's just happening this morning. It's overflowing. In fact, Mike Baird said we need to build a wall 50 feet higher to hold all the water in these days. Nothing is impossible with God, people. Amen. You gotta get ready to step out. The fact is, to step out, though, can be nervous. I share that with you because you're not alone. I imagine Abraham was a little nervy. I imagine everybody in the Bible was a little nervy as they got to that point of stepping out. Maybe stepping out for you is getting out of a situation, a relationship, a circumstance, a way of life. And there's got to come a point where you make the decision, I'm getting out. I'm taking the step out. Because to get unstuck, you will find the miracle happens in the step. The first part of this is step out. The second part is understand that as soon as you take the step, the power of God is going to be with you. All of the miracles that Jesus worked on people happened when they made a move. The Holy Spirit moves in our moving. He didn't say, hey, guy on the bed, just lie there. You're going to get healed. Hey, lepers over there, you 10 lepers, just stand around over there, just stay. Healing's going to come. Oh, you over there with the blindness, just sit down in your chair. Healing's going to happen soon. We'll just wait around for it. Oh, Peter and John at the gate. Beautiful. Hey, I know you've been coming here for years. Just sit there for a little while. Healing's on its way. It'll never come. Not going to happen. Every one of those people, Jesus told them, you got to step out. He said, hey, guy on the bed, stand up. He could have said, Why don't you just do it for me and then I'll stand up? He says, no, start to do what you couldn't do before. Do something that you don't believe you can do. Do something, take a step that you don't think you can ever do because you've been locked up and lying on that bed all the days of your life. Now it's time in 2019 to step up off the bed and to say, I'm not staying here anymore. And right then when he took that step, power came upon him. Power filled him and he found his legs were able to work. And he started to move. How about these lepers over here? Don't just stand there. Go down to the temple and show yourselves to the priests that you've been healed. As they went, they were healed. Hey, Mr. Blind Man, don't just sit here. I'm going to put mud in your eyes and I need you to go down to the pool and wash your eyes. And the power of God is going to move with you. Sometimes we are stuck because we're frozen in fear about the will of God. We're going like, what if it's not the will of God? Sometimes the deep sincerity of a believer can keep them from actually stepping out. They so badly want to do what the right thing is. You might never know what the right thing is. Plenty of times, I would say 80% of the time, I've got no idea where I'm going. But as I take the step, I find myself being guided by the Lord, because the Word says the steps of a person are ordered by the Lord. I came out of a very indecisive family situation where it was the way of life. Shall we, shan't we? Maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. Oh, better not, better. And inevitably, you'd end up to the default of not doing something, because that was safer. So when I came to Christ and I recognized that problem in my thinking, I said, I'm gonna not second guess my decisions. I'm gonna make choices and not look back, like Lot's wife. But it was one of the most difficult things I ever found in my life to do. To make a decision and then not think about it. It was like all that weight of second guessing would come back down on my brain. I had to go to the mental gym and lift that thought off my head and refuse to think about it. Oh, that was scary. Because that was like faith. Just to go, don't think about it. Don't even second guess it. Don't revisit it. Don't go back there. Yeah, but what if you're wrong? No, I'm not even going there. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. I'm going forward, I'm not going backwards. If I go forwards, I grow bigger. If I go backwards, I shrink. As you and I go forwards, we're going to find ourselves moving in a power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe that step is going to Bible college this year, going to the C3 college. Maybe it's stepping out and saying, for some of you, oh, I just felt that. I just felt that. God has been talking to some of you. And you've been like me, thinking, no. Because you're nervous about a whole year. I mean, what could happen? Yeah, what could happen? Right, what could happen? There's all kinds of things, amazing, crazy things that could happen. Sometimes it's pride that stops us. We say, oh, I'm a mature Christian. As if I need to do that. Oh, I've been following Jesus for a long time. I know all there is to know about it. That just tells me I don't know way enough about it. Could be the fear, where's, how am I going to get the time? How am I going to put the money? There are so many students who have part-time jobs and find ways that their employer, so often we see miracles. But that's not just with colleges, connect groups, being in a connect, stepping into being empowered with the Holy Spirit. God is a moving God. He does not stay still. Right from the beginning of creation, the Spirit of God was moving. Everybody say, moving. Moving on up, moving on up. No. Moving. Say it again, moving. This year, you are going to see one of the greatest moves of God our church has ever seen. I'm telling you, and I am wide open and hungry and thirsty for a move of the Holy Spirit. I told our Sunday night congregation last week, we're gonna make it. I know we've been having services that are 1 hour, 5 minutes, 1 hour, 15 minutes. We're going to 1 hour, 30. I said, we're going to go the other way. We're going to extend times, not for longer preaching, but for longer lingering, for longer times of the moving of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be filled with the power of the presence of God. I want you to be filled with a momentum. The Holy Spirit is a moving spirit. Religion is dead because it stops. It keeps you stuck in 1,000 years ago. And it hates anything that's new. When a Jesus turns up, religion wants to crucify him. When the Holy Spirit turns up, a religious church wants to crucify him. What was started in the Spirit, we sometimes expect people to do in their flesh. I said 1,000 times, People get filled with the Holy Spirit. They start living a certain way in life. And then they tell people, you should do this too. Forgetting that it came from the fountainhead of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the thing that you and I must discover, what it is to have an anointing on us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. He's anointed this church. And the last thing I want to do when we've got young people taking their own lives, we've got families falling apart, when we've got people who don't know their left hand from their right, have got no idea what their life is all about, to sit here in warm seats, we need to have a place that is charged full with the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the living God that'll break chains, that'll destroy bondages, that'll bring people into a whole new way of living. Come on, let's stand up as we come to a close here. Let me say this to you. I have never been filled with the Holy Spirit sitting in a chair. I've never been filled with the Spirit where I'm just sitting around and, whoa, just got filled with the Holy Ghost. Never had that happen. Every time I felt God coming down on my life is when I've started praying, or when I've started praising, or when I've started preaching. When I am doing something, it's like drinking the Holy Spirit. So listen to me. You took all the effort to get in your car, to pack up your kids, or whatever it was, to get down here into church. The last thing you want to do is just stand there all service. Nothing's going to happen. You say, oh, well, God wants to touch me. He will. God moves and you're moving. Start reaching out to Him in prayer. Start reaching out to Him in worship and praise. Shut the doors and get alone with Him for not just saying a prayer in 2 minutes. Be in the prayer meeting on a Tuesday night at 7:30 or 7 o'clock, or in the prayer meeting on Friday morning at 6:30. Soon in February, we'll be doing a lot more regular just for that month with some fasting and praying. But I'm telling you right now, the secret to being filled with the Holy Spirit, with that momentum, with that move of God, with the ability to move into seizing this year, to step out. Maybe to step out in prayer even, step out in worship, step out in praise. I want you all just to lift your hands and to start praying. Praying in the Holy Spirit, praying baptized, immersed in the power of God.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share, or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.